Welcome to City Professional English Podcasts, Podcast 21, Writing Your International Resume. Both my present role and my past roles in companies have given me a great deal of experience in reading resumes and deciding which candidate to contact for an interview. Currently, I receive one resume a day, and I am absolutely amazed at the poor quality of them. Almost all of them miss the point of what a resume is meant to function as, and as a result, rarely are they read. The problem is, as usual, the people giving advice to those who are writing the resumes have never been in the situation of a recruiting manager or a manager looking to hire someone. The advice given is wrong because they have no experience of what is right. This podcast aims to address this lack of guidance and provide you with clear ideas on how to stand out from the crowd. I hope you enjoy this podcast and find it useful. This is a very serious subject, and it's serious not only because, as I mentioned in the introduction, the number of resumes that I see every day, of which I find have a very poor quality with them. But it's important because I also am asked by friends as to whether I can help them with the construction of their CVs or their resumes as they try to apply for different jobs. And often with these friends, I think they're rather shocked by my reaction, because often I say to them, look, I'd love to send this off to people, but I can't send this off to people. It's terrible. I'm based in Italy, and a lot of people here unfortunately use the European passport template, and I have never seen anything as bad in my life as this template. I promise you that when I receive these resumes written in this fashion, I never read them. So this is why I wanted to do this podcast today. I wanted to give my ideas as to what I have in the past looked for when I've received resumes, and also what I look for now. So the advice I'm going to give is the advice from someone who is a reader of resumes, not someone who is a writer of resumes. And this is a very different mindset between the two. So I'm going to give you guidance on what I look for. Hear me out. Go through the different considerations that I want to point out to you. And you can choose whether you want to go ahead with this or not. But I think the difference in this particular guidance, in this particular podcast, is it's coming from someone who reads resumes. You may not agree with my point of view, but at least you're getting a different idea than what you normally hear from your friends and your colleagues and people who are trying to help you in writing your CV, but maybe don't have the experience of having to read them. Today I have 3 points. What to consider before writing, where I'm going to talk about some definitions, some mindsets, the sort of information which you have to keep. The second point is the importance of clarity, where I will talk about how you actually put this information on to the piece of paper and what you have to consider. And lastly, the point, putting it all together, where I'm going to give some direct advice as to the language and what you should be looking for with an example of writing a resume. So what to consider before writing your resume. First of all, what is the difference between a resume and a curriculum vitae, a CV? A lot of people use these two nouns interchangeably, and they're not exactly the same. A curriculum vitae tends to be longer. It tends to be a chronological list of positions held. It is often used for the academic and the medical world, where in particular, the publication of articles in magazines, of papers, is pretty important to place upon your CV. So curriculum vitae is rather specialized. A resume is much shorter. It is what the vast majority of people are going to have to write when they apply for certain positions. One of the very first questions that I ask people when they come to me for help with how to write their resume is I say to them, what is the purpose of writing a resume? The answers are often to share information, to introduce myself, to talk about what I've done, to list the positions I've held, to talk about my qualifications. And I say, no, 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 no. That is not the purpose of writing a resume. The purpose of writing a resume is to obtain an interview. And that's it. A resume is not a story. It's not an essay. It's not a timeline of your life. It's not a biography. What you're trying to achieve here is to stand out from the crowd so that you will have the opportunity to present yourself in person with the company who's looking for new people. And this is a very important mindset to keep in consideration, in the sense that it's not about the writer. It's not about giving information about the writer. It's about obtaining that interview. The interesting thing is, though, that surveys suggest that interviews are actually obtained by your contacts that you have. I read somewhere that 75% of executive positions are filled via contacts. Approximately 10% of positions are filled online. 10%. So the vast majority of people find new employment via the contacts they have, via the network they have. So this obviously leads to the question of where should your energy be? Your energy should always be in building relationships. I keep on saying it, and I will keep on saying it till I'm blue in the face. You have to be effective at work, yes. You have to know how to run effective meetings, what exactly is meant by an effective decision, how to delegate properly, how to coach people. You need to know all these things. You need to know how to be a leader, how to motivate. But one of the very most important things is building long-lasting and solid relationships at work. And this is particularly true in the moment in which you find yourself without a job. That's when you're going to realize the true value of these relationships that you have honestly worked hard at building up. So that's where your energy should be. So the writing of the resume should be just the icing on the cake. So what is a resume? If you search on the internet, as I said before, there's a lot of guidance on resume writing. And there's a tendency recently to talk about resumes as a marketing document, a personal marketing document. That means it needs to be written with a marketing focus. So that means that you have to bold certain items on your resume. You need to start to be involved in personal branding. A lot of this guidance is pushing people in completely the wrong direction. Listen, there's nothing wrong that if you have a rock solid resume, that at the end of it, you can look at it and you can try to adjust it in certain circumstances to give your personal branding. I'm not trying to say that's wrong, but I'm trying to say that that's putting a lot of pressure on people to write in a creative manner while at the same time remaining concise. And it's one of the most difficult things to do. And since most of the people who are listening to this podcast are not mother tongue English speakers, writing a marketing-focused, personal branding resume in English, which is your second or third language, without losing the main idea of what you're trying to achieve, which is, remember, the interview, is a very difficult thing to do. So I'm not going to say it's wrong, but I'm going to say that it's not where you need to concentrate. So the question is, Where do you need to concentrate? What are the questions you need to answer? The first and foremost question you need to answer is, what have I accomplished? What have I done and how well did I do it? You need to have the ability to place within your resume the things that you have achieved. Now, I'm not talking about the positions you have achieved, because from someone who reads resumes, I don't care what the title is of your role. I don't care if you're the CEO, the CFO, a personal assistant, a secretary. I don't care. What I'm interested in is, what did you achieve while you were in that role? And this is by far the biggest problem that I see with the vast majority of resumes that are given to me. They list chronologically the positions they've held, where they've worked, for how long, who they worked for, and very rarely do they talk about what they achieved. Now, in part, the reason for that, I think, is that the vast majority of people write their resume when they lose their job. And, you know, that's not exactly the best moment from an emotional point of view when you should be trying to write a resume. I don't know about the people listening to this podcast, but I have a difficulty remembering what I did last week. If I lost my job tomorrow and I had to write down what I have achieved in the past 3 months, I would find that difficult. If I'd been working for a company for 10 years and I have to sit down, in the emotional state in which I would be in, having lost my job, sit down and remember what I've accomplished in 10 years, I really don't think I would be able to do it. So if there is one thing you listeners take away from this podcast, if there's just one thing, I implore you to every 3 months update the list of things that you have achieved in those 3 months. Just have it as a Word document, not as a complete resume, just what you achieved in those 3 months. What you achieved and how you achieved it. And I don't mean as an essay, just bullet points. So that when you're in the situation where you have to put together a professional and effective international resume, you have a huge list of data from which you can use. Please, please, please do not leave it until the moment in which you lose your job to start writing these down. If you're in the position where you're actually writing the resume, so you're looking for a new job, as you look at your accomplishments, what you have to try to keep in mind is, as I said before, what did you do and how well did you do it? These are the points that the person reading the resume is going to want to see. But it's also important that they are explained in a way which shows what you can specifically add in terms of value to the company. A lot of people ask me two questions with this. First, how they write accomplishments, how they write them down. And I'll talk about that a little bit later on in this podcast. But they also talk to show the value you are adding to the company via your accomplishments. Because increasingly, the added value isn't so much through exactly what you have achieved, but more the way in which you have achieved it. Which is why I said you need to write down the accomplishment, what you achieved, and how you did it. Because a lot of companies are looking for how you will fit in to their current teams, their current workforce, their current culture in the company, by looking at how you've achieved the results you've mentioned. And there's no problem if what you see when you write down these your accomplishments is that you see that you've achieved them by your personality. That's fine. It doesn't have to be done by your intellectual prowess or by your hard work. Or by any other reason, it can simply be by your personality. The fact that you are good at encouraging or motivating others to do the best at work is certainly added value to a new employer. And I think in the future it's going to become increasingly important, because slowly people are going to become more used to writing down their achievements on CVs. Currently that's not very common, but it will become more common. So the next derivative is where you will try to demonstrate your added value by your unique skills. The person reading the resume has a lot of resumes in which they all say that they've achieved profit growth of X. But if you write down your unique skills, the way in which you uniquely achieved this, that is going to make you stand out from the crowd. So as I said, it's important for you to keep a list of these accomplishments, what you did and how you did it. Because the how you did it could go a long way to explaining your unique skills. As a slight side point here, unfortunately, there's a lot of talk about keywords being important. In that when you write your resume, you have to keep in mind what are the keywords or the buzzwords in your industry. This is because a lot of companies, and this has become a little bit of an old idea in the United States, but unfortunately, it's coming over here as well. By over here, I mean into Europe. And it's terribly unfortunate, because what companies do is they ask applicants to fill in an online resume, and this online resume goes directly into a computer where the computer checks for keywords, whatever the keywords are in that industry. It's called applicant tracking system. So if ever you're asked to fill in an online resume, be very careful about this. This is probably that they are looking or using this system, and they are looking for particular buzzwords in your industry. Buzzwords means unique words for your industry. So if you're going for an executive position, you're trying to become a CEO, a CFO, they will be looking for keywords like leadership, leader, motivation. I don't know what the keywords are in your industry. I'm sure you do. Be aware, if you're having to fill out an online resume, that is maybe what is going on. I hate the idea, but you have to be aware of it. Let's go on now to the importance of clarity. So you have all these considerations in your mind. You've got a list of your accomplishments, of what you've done and how you've done it. You have a clearer idea of your unique skills. So let's think about how you actually write them down. Now, unfortunately, there's an old-fashioned art of letter writing which has completely been lost. The evolution of emailing, the evolution of SMS, texting, means that many people have lost the art of writing a letter. Now, I don't mean here creative writing. I mean being able to write down what you think in a concise and simplistic manner while keeping at all times the reader in mind. What does that mean, keeping the reader in mind? That means that when they look at the piece of paper, it's easy to read. When I talk to people about how to write professional emails in English, I talk a lot about how you place the paragraphs, the spaces between lines, how you use bullet points, so as to make it easy for the reader to understand what you're trying to say. This mindset of putting yourself in the position of the reader is very important here. It's particularly important here when we're talking about resumes, because I promise you, if you're a recruiting manager or a manager looking to hire someone, you have 100 resumes on your desk, you are not going to read the resumes that make it hard work for you. So let's make it simple, let's make it concise. Do not worry about perfect English. Do not worry about writing a perfect essay in English. That is not what a resume is for. It's one of the questions that people ask me a great deal, but it is not what it is meant for. Don't worry about it. Worry more about your accomplishments, your unique skills, what you did, and how you did it. So let me try and be a little bit more, and give a little bit more clarity on how to write it, how to put it down on paper. The first comment is a resume should never be more than one page. I know all of you out there are screaming your head off Maybe some of you have turned off the podcast already. I promise you, one page is all you need to have. There was an exercise done in the United States where someone wrote a resume for Obama when he was going for the presidential race 4 years ago. And they wrote this curriculum vitae, this resume, for someone who has achieved a lot in their life, right? And it's someone who's going for an extremely important job. Put aside the politics here for a moment and what you may or may not think of America and so on and so forth. It is still the most pressurized job in the world. And this person wrote a resume which was one page. In fact, it was 1.5 pages. So if someone who's achieved as much as Obama has achieved in his life, looking to have probably the most difficult job in the world, can have a resume written with 1.5 pages, then you can definitely have a resume written in one page. There simply isn't any need for any more. And don't worry that you're not writing enough. You're not trying to write an essay. Remember, you're trying to obtain the interview. Less is more. This page needs to be full of what you have achieved. The people reading the resume do not care about anything else. When I read a resume, I do not care about anything else I read on it. Now, if I was a professor at university and I was looking to hire a professor under me, then of course that will be different. I need to see a whole list of what they published, their articles, and so on and so forth. But for the vast majority of the people who are listening to this podcast, I promise you, the recruiting manager is only interested in what you did and how you did it. And that's certainly what I was only ever interested in. One page is more than enough. If you insist on the recruiting manager having to read 4 pages, which is especially true with people who use this European passport template, it's not going to go anywhere. Consider also the fonts you use. 80% of resumes are written in Times New Roman. So if you choose another font, immediately your resume is going to jump out of the page in comparison to all the others. Try and find a different font. The size, obviously, is important. Try not to have the size much bigger than Times New Roman using 11. But try and use a different font. Consider also the bullet points. Bullet points are very important, obviously, when you're writing a concise and simple and to-the-point resume. But 95% of bullet points, people use simple dots. Here, try and use something else. I mean, don't be too creative, but there's a whole list of what you can use if you're using Microsoft Word document or Apple's Pages. There's a whole list of different types of bullets you can use. Try not to use the simple dots. 95% of resumes are written with these simple dots. Never use a photo. Ever. Never, ever, ever use a photo. This is particularly true if you're aiming at multinational companies, Whenever there's a photo on a CV, it puts the recruiting manager in a difficult position. Do they ask this person in for another interview? Because if they don't, will they be thought of as being prejudiced in some way to gender or to color? And if they do invite them in, are they being seen as being prejudiced towards race or to color? I promise you, this is something which is somewhat more prevalent in the United States. But this is coming over here to Europe. I mean, we are a little bit more relaxed about that at the moment in Europe. But I think that the advice is simple. Do not use a photograph. Obviously, if you're applying for a job as a TV show host, then you need to have your photograph. If you're applying for a job as an artist model, then you need to have your photograph. But for the vast majority of the people listening to this podcast, you don't need it. So don't use it. Do not use a photo. And remember that the idea that less is more. Be simple. Be to the point. Do not worry about repeating. If you have 10 achievements. Let's say you have 10 achievements you write down on this one piece of paper. And they're all structured in the same way. I mean, you say improved margins by 20% every year for 4 years. Reached profit targets for 5 years consecutively. If you have these things which seem the same, it doesn't matter. Because if you are putting down your achievements and they go bang, 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 you're repeating them. You're not repeating exactly the same achievement, but similar achievements, there is nothing that is going to put across to the reader of your resume that you are someone who achieves something as seeing bang, 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 bang these points. Do not worry about repeating. Let's put it all together now. There's two possible situations I want to consider. There's where you're responding to an advertisement, or you're responding to the advice of a friend of yours who says that this company is looking for this particular role. Or when you're writing a resume and you're writing generally, so you're writing maybe to a headhunter, for instance. So there are two situations which are slightly different. How do you put all what I've said together in writing your resume? Well, you obviously at the beginning of your resume, you write your name, you write contact details. You then should write a heading. I don't mean an objective here. I mean a heading. The position in which you desire. And be specific. Specific? Be specific, even. What you are trying to obtain. Then we get to the most important point, which is your accomplishments. You have this list, which you've updated every 3 months. And now, if you're responding to an advertisement, in the advertisement, they will write down the attributes that they are looking for in someone for this new role. You take each of these requested attributes and you look at your past accomplishments and see where you have in the past demonstrated, concretely demonstrated, the attributes that the company is asking for. And you simply write them down. So if the company's attributes is the ability to solve problems in a timely manner. It's a very common one. Look down your accomplishments where you have resolved problems that have come up. And in your list of accomplishments, you've got not only what you did, but how you did it. And you simply list that under the heading of problem solving in a timely manner. So for each of the requested attributes, you put down on this one piece of paper your accomplishments, of what you have done and how you've done it in the past, which demonstrates clearly that you have what they are looking for. This is just wonderful. It's gold dust to a recruiting manager. Some people talk to me and say, Mark, oh, that's just too much in your face. It's too much saying, oh, look at me. Look how good I am. But that's completely wrong. You're not being egotistical here. You are just demonstrating to the person that you have concretely demonstrated in the past that you have what they are looking for. It makes it so much easier for the recruiting manager. And you're making it easy for them to see this. The clarity. If, however, you're writing generally to a headhunter, you can work on this idea as well, because you have an idea of what your desired position you're looking for. And you can pretty much think of the type of attributes that companies are going to want. And you can list these attributes, and beneath you can, again, demonstrate your past achievements. This is crucial. It's not being too in your face. It's being very clear on what you've achieved. And it will get you in for an interview. At which point, you can clearly demonstrate that you are not an egotistical person. Don't worry about that when you're writing your resume. Let me quickly think about, I'll talk to you about some of the specific language issues when you're writing, because you're probably going to be writing this in English. When you're writing out your accomplishments, you always use a simple past tense. You always use the simple past tense. So verbs such as achieved, reached, improved, other type of past tense verbs you should be using. There is no need to include the personal pronoun I. It's redundant. You don't have to say I achieved X, or I reached X, or I improved X. There's no need. Never use adverbs such as never, always, or very. Adverbs such as never and always are emotional adverbs. There's something which you should try to steer away from always in the professional world, because these are things which can always be demonstrated that there are exceptions. So never, never use adverbs such as never or always. The same with very. Very, if you're writing concisely, just not something which you write down. It is redundant. If you're reading it, you just skip over. Never use complicated words. You know, do not look to be creative. You are not writing an essay. You are trying to obtain an interview, which will have nothing at all to do with your power of English. And lastly, do not worry about repetition. Repeating what you've achieved and how you've done it, particularly if you put it into the context of what the company is looking for, is exactly what people want to see. The people who are reading your resume is exactly what they want to see. All right, thank you very much for listening. I hope you found this useful. As I said to you, if you take one thing away from this podcast, please, every 3 months, update your accomplishments, what you've done and how you did it. Do not wait for when you are in the weakened emotional state where you have to write your resume and you are struggling to remember what you've achieved in the past 10 years. Don't put yourself in that situation. Please keep this list up to date. And also remember to please keep on developing your network of contacts. Those are the things which are going to get you the interview more effectively than any resume you could ever possibly write. Thank you for the time you dedicated to listening to me and to City Professional English. I do appreciate it. Please try to use some of the things which I've mentioned. As always say, if you don't put into practice or implement some of the things, all that happens is that for this podcast, I've been an entertainer. I'm not funny. I'm not a corporate entertainer. And it will be a waste. So please choose some things which I've mentioned, things you agree with, and implement them. Thank you again very much. I look forward to speaking to you next week. Goodbye.